Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We got a lot to catch up with when it comes to the St. Louis Blues. They have been incredibly active with a number of different things over the last week and a half. And as you would expect, right in that time period, well, there weren't a lot of Cardinals off nights, so we didn't have a lot of sports open lines. And then City SC decided to fire their coach, and we had to talk about that. So we're going to circle back in a big way and try to kind of recap everything that has happened over the last couple weeks with the St. Louis Blues. And we are very happy to be able to welcome on to the program. He is absolutely one of our favorite people to be able to talk hockey with. He is Lou Korak. He joins us on the program right now. Of course, you read Lou at NHL.com. He also covers hockey for the Hockey News on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, always appreciate you taking a few moments with us. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. This has been a very busy most hockey teams have had a very busy last couple weeks, but it really feels like the Blues have done a lot. Let's start with the decision for Doug Armstrong to eventually move on. Steve Ott got the associate head coach. Claude Julien comes in. They have a new decision maker coming in a few years. Do you like the way this team has kind of put everybody on a track, and it feels like the future is somewhat secure here?
I think that's kind of the whole goal and whole agenda that they've tried to accomplish here. No doubt about it. It's kind of a changing of the guard, if you want to call it that. You've got Doug Armstrong finally relinquishing some of the personnel, if you want to say, decisions, and going to turn that over to a former player and somebody that he has come to trust, and Alex Steen. And it's, Stanley Cup champion. He kind of really started to understand the nuances of, what it takes to be in a management position. And I think you're going to see that in the next 2 years. That's why he's kind of he's going to be a special assistant to the general manager and kind of learn on the fly here in the next couple of years. And it's one of those where eventually Doug Armstrong's going to pass the keys on and say, the show's yours. And I'm looking forward to it. And Doug Armstrong even said it. There are some guys, whether it depends on what sport you look at, there's just some guys that are lifers in this position, and he just feels like that a new voice is needed, and he's not going to completely go away. He's obviously going to keep his president of hockey operations position, and he got an extension on that for another 3 years beyond the next two, so he's going to be around for another 5 years, and a little bit of reshuffling, like you said, with the coaching staff, and Steve Ott going to get a promotion there, and obviously Drew Bannister has got some security now. You remove the interim tag and you bring in a guy like Claude Julien, who's been there and done that and won a Stanley Cup, and has just like Doug Armstrong said, if you Google his name, you're going to find a guy that has quite a few accomplishments under his resume. So certainly a lot of new changes that are going on, some refreshing ones, if you want to call it that. And I don't want to call this from a player's perspective, a changing of the guard, but it's just the direction that they've decided to go in because they want to build from within. They want to build it with a younger lineup here. They want to start building with their prospects and not necessarily do the things that you've seen like some teams do and spend very, very wildly like they did on July 1st. You saw the Nashville Predators and what they did. The Blues are going to go about this, at least in the interim future here, in a different way.
How valuable can a Claude Julien be to a Drew Bannister? Are there some Jim Montgomery similarities here, just in terms of having another strong voice on the bench?
Probably, but you've got somebody that's got a lot more experience and a higher pedigree. Let's be honest here. Like I mentioned, you're talking about a guy that's been at the pinnacle of the NHL and won a Stanley Cup, and you could never have enough of those guys in your ear throughout the course of a season, especially for a guy like Drew Bannister, who is still learning on the fly at this level. I mean, we've seen, what he's been able to do at the American Hockey League level, but he's still relatively young and new at the NHL level. And you bring in a guy like that who understands, and, yes, is there an age gap there between a Claude Julien and maybe some of the younger guys there? But as Drew Bannister pointed out to me after I asked him the question, is that going to be maybe a challenge or an issue of a guy that maybe there's a generational gap there, and you're talking about a guy that maybe coaches an old school way. You still got a lot of guys with a lot of experience and that are older in the tooth around the league that are still teaching young kids. So I think it's going to be a good fit. We'll see how the players adapt to it. They certainly should respect him in every aspect just because of the pedigree that he's going to bring to this hockey club.
Two things that Doug Armstrong recently said that really jumped out at me. First off, after the Kevin Hayes trade, he essentially admitted that maybe that the move that didn't work. And when getting into the Pavel Buchnevich contract extension, he mentioned the fact that nobody was budging, and then he was the one who ended up budging. How much do you just, from first off, a lot of candor in each of those in each of those comments?
Well, it takes a lot to admit that perhaps you were wrong. And nobody's perfect. We know that. And there have been instances, I can go back to the trade for Ryan Miller. Didn't work out. Doug Armstrong took a swing there. And quite frankly, he, at best, he hit a foul ball. But probably if you look at that situation, he swung and missed as well. This one, you can definitely say, again, he tried something here, thought that it could work out. He swung and missed. Those are things that you just learn from. Even when you're around as long as he has been, and this is going to be his 15th year as GM here, you're going to make mistakes. And that certainly was a mistake. You try to minimize the damage. You had to give up a second-round pick for another team to take on the rest of the contract, even though you were only on the cup for 50% of it. And with the Buchnevich signing, I think that's just a situation of, in the last so many years, you've allowed and enabled a number of key important guys to get away from the organization. And I just don't think that's a good idea for that to continue to happen, because you're talking about a guy that can definitely be in your plans for the near future and into the long-term plans. I mean, he's still 29 years old. There's still a lot of good hockey left in him. Do you have to pay a price? Are you going to be paying a price there towards the end of the contract? Probably. But in the interim, if you want to continue to build and you want to continue to be competitive, now this could probably be and probably would have been a different scenario if you're looking at a total rebuild with this franchise and with this team. But that's not what they want to do. They want to continue to remain competitive. And in order to do that, you have to keep some of your best players. And sometimes you have to budge and you have to give a little bit. And Pavel Buchnevich is one of your best players, and they decided to invest in him.
We've spent so much time in recent years talking about this team being capped out and how winning the cup and giving some guys some raises and then going into COVID and the cap not raising as you expected to do, it just put this team in a really tough financial spot. Are they clear of that now? Is that a narrative that we can put into the rearview mirror?
Not necessarily. I still think that you're looking at some contracts on your blue line that I think if we already saw that with last year with the situation last summer with Torrey Krug. They quite frankly wanted to move on from that in a different direction. And I still think that if you could make some changes on your blue line from some guys that have some big contracts, you would probably be looking to do that. But again, that's the price you pay again when you're in negotiations. And hindsight, we say it all the time, it's always 20/20. But you know, these guys have full no trade clauses. That's their prerogative. That's they are quite entitled to, you know, invoke those if they would like, and they certainly can and will do that and have done that. But you have to endure that for another full season, which is this upcoming year. Now, next year, you have some flexibility in that area when some of those full no trades become limited no trades, where you can move some of those guys. But I think you're right. I think you've moved on from a lot of the big contracts, and you do have some flexibility. And if you've noticed one thing, Matt, this team didn't go out and once again spend to the cap. And I think that's something that Tom Stillman said they were not going to do when they made the announcement with Alex Steen taking over in a couple of years. It's always good to have a little bit of cap flexibility. And I think Doug Armstrong finally, for a chance, sees that if there's an opportunity where other teams, and he mentioned this, if other teams get into a cap bind, And if there's some players out there that teams would like to keep and necessarily can't do that, maybe the Blues can jump in and find themselves a player and that could help, certainly help them out in order to help another team out financially.
Last topic for you, amateur intradraft recently taking place, their first round pick, Adam Juracek. There's some injury issues there, but also when healthy, if you project him out as a very healthy player, he's a very exciting player. Did you like that selection? Did you like the overall draft for the Blues?
I think that was one of the directions they were looking to go in, no doubt about it. And let's be honest, if Juracek doesn't get injured at the World Juniors, I think there's a good possibility that he would have went higher than 16. But again, that's one of those situations where you're dealing with an injury and teams might be a little scared off by that. The Blues certainly weren't. They felt like they did their homework on it from a medical standpoint and always did like the player, followed him for quite a bit and felt that if he was going to be there for them at number 16, that was the guy that they were going to go with because they certainly had some options, whether it be defensemen or there were even some pretty good forwards out there that I thought that they might have taken a stab at that they didn't that went later on in the first round. But they definitely, Matt, had to replenish the cupboard a little bit from a prospect standpoint on the blue line. They're just very thin in that area. You could see their first three selections in this draft were focused on defensemen. I think they did a pretty good job of mixing this up and getting a good balance. And, you know, you're not going to hear or see it from these guys for at least a couple, 2, 3, 4 years down the line. But at least you've got some guys there now that you can talk about and build from a perspective wise. In the prospect pool on the blue line, because they're certainly going to need it moving forward. Because if there's one area that they're thin in, that's the one I believe they're thin on.
Is there a guy who was selected in the later rounds that you especially liked and are excited to see what they develop into?
Adam Dzeko was one guy that I think he was projected to go higher, and there was some people out there that felt like that whoever was going to be able to get him was going to get themselves a gem of a player. And the Blues got him late in the third round. Big kid, big, strong, physical, 6'5". I think he's at about 205, 210. I think he's going to grow more into his body. You see a lot more set from a center ice position anyway. Big, strong kids. And thought he had a pretty decent development camp, somebody that I kept an eye on. I'm really going to be interested to see how he develops because if you look at the prospectus and what the Blues have down the middle, they're not necessarily overly big guys there, and I think that would be an area that you would want to focus on. And if you can develop somebody in that area, you're seeing a lot more teams now developing big, strong centers. I think this kid's got some potential. Let's see how this plays out.
Six of their selections, 6'3" or taller, so that certainly says something about the direction that they were going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of teams were geared in that because if you can get somebody that's big and fast and they check off the boxes like the small guys do, Doug Armstrong even mentioned it. No offense to the small guy, but if the big guy can do equally or even better in those areas than the small guy can, I think that's no offense to those small guys, but that's the direction that they're going to go in. And I think that's the direction that a lot of teams are going in is just, yes, the game is geared more towards a faster game, but if you can get big guys to accomplish what you're looking for, those are the types of players the teams are going after.
He is Luke Korak, covers the Blues, NHL.com, also the Hockey News. Lou, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Matt. Take care.
There's Luke Korak. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.